This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, January 2nd, 2008.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to today's meeting. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order and call for any late additions to the agenda. Okay. Pat and Linda are not with us today. Move on to the business of the day. Do we have something under this? Does anybody have that?
No.
Okay. Report from the chair. Hope everybody had a good holiday season. Mm-hmm. A little early to be back to work. One thing I'd like to bring up is that we do have elections coming up. We're going to talk about elections a little more. I want everybody to think of what positions, officer positions, that you might be interested in. And if you have any questions about them, you can contact that officer or you can ask me. Mm-hmm. We'll fill you in a little bit as to what it entails and what you have to do.
Do we have a schedule
for the elections?
Mm-hmm.
And that will be.
Yes, you can't have it.
Yeah, it looks like I will
with
you.
Somebody has a camera.
And we can talk more about that later on. But
as soon as it's final, I'll find out.
I have not seen Michael. Michael's not with us. Did he pass anything on about anything you wanted to report?
No, I didn't get anything. Just the next trustee meetings coming up are January 23rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. And he's involved in the employee trustee election for the next trip that's coming up.
Okay. Report from the UA representative?
There's nothing to report. There's no meeting since the last time we met.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, with the break. Okay, let's move on to approval of minutes. We have November 7th. These got mailed out. Anybody notice anything they'd like to change?
Yeah, I have one change in section 4. Joanne DiStefano's name is spelled wrong. I'm sorry, where are you? Section 4. DiStefano, not
DI. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Make a motion to approve the minute.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, none opposed. Approve the minutes, the meeting minutes with the change of the name. Okay, let's move on to committee reports. Executive committee. There's nothing to report from that. We'll be having another one in a week. We'll move on to staff award recognition. I don't believe anything different than last meeting. We did the George Peter Awards. Communication committee?
I have one thing.
Okay.
If you remember last meeting, Mary was with us and we talked about using the emails that they have and so forth. And
yeah.
She gave us a couple names. I have talked to George Bedlar, I think his last name is, and he is sending me a listing of the emails that are on the staff list. So. What I want to do is an idea of how many people we actually hitting off of that and so forth. So I should have that for the next meeting to be able to give an update. So we'll try to work on the REACH project a little bit.
Okay. You guys are meeting again
Tuesday.
Okay, finance, Bill?
Finance, just before break, I did send out a report, kind of a mid-year report, for lack of a better term. I didn't get a chance to hand it out here real quick, but if I can send a couple around, just take a couple minutes to do it.
because there had been some questions and so forth, so I was trying to get some things cleaned up, making sense of it in my own mind. So what I have here is the budget, which is the $9,400, which everybody knows about, and how it is actually broken out. So you can see staff board recognition, 1600, communications committee, 4500, and so forth down the line. Along with that, as I was going through it with the assembly's office, did note that there was an available balance from the 0607 budget, $393, so $97.93 total. The expenses show up as being $8,500 right now, $8,511.99, which means basically we've got nothing left, but there are two credits that we're looking to have come through, and that's the next line. There's the credit for the president's address for $4,121 and a credit from the emergency grant fund for $224, because right now we paid for the whole lunch, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. So if we net those back out, then we would have net expenses of $4,166, $4,167, and then it shows you the available budget would be $5,233 plus the $393, so we'd have $5,626 for the second half of the year. Any questions on that before I go on? On the notes below, both credits are pending as of the time of this report. What happened with... Yep, they still are. Yep. Deb Phillips and I did discuss the Pizzagate situation. And we made a verbal agreement, which I did send her an email on, that we would split the cost 50-50. The money that came from the pizza, just so everybody knows, was not counted separately, and it was lumped in with the rest of the funds that they received, so there's no way to know how much they actually got from the pizza. And, you know, so we just said, look, let's just split 50-50. We're going too long. This is crazy. And what that means is that instead of the $100 that we had in the budget, we would have to pay $224. So I have a recommendation that the $124 comes out of the leftover balance from the 0607 budget, so we're not taking it from anywhere else. I also am recommending for the future budgets, and we don't have to worry about it right now. We can discuss it as a full group and vote on it, but that we would put in $350 to cover the total cost of the auction launch as a donation from our group to support that, you know, that fund. It's less than what was used this year, but we also realized that there was way too much this year, and we think we can cut back. So, and let's see, on the back of the page, I just put some clarifications on next year's budget, which are pretty important because I didn't realize this myself. It's important to realize that the $20,000 that Peggy Beach has been speaking of, that she's put in a preliminary budget on, is specifically for two presidential addresses to the staff. The money is not to be used for other things. So, but what it does do is it allows us to take the normal $9,400 budget we have and use that for everything else. So basically what happens is we normally budget $3,200 out of $9,400 for the presidential speech. We can budget that for other things. So it's kind of an indirect increase in our budget is the way that Peggy explained it. We will have to obviously put the budget together, submit it, get it approved, and so forth. But it's very important to understand that what she put in was not our budget. It was a budget request that we will be able to use specifically for presidential addresses. We would still have to submit our normal budget, which we'll put that together and do it. Does that make sense?
No. Nope. So then what is the total budget?
The total budget.
1,000, right?
No.
No.
That's really a line item that she's put in a request for to be able to support two presidential addresses.
So is the $20,000 in addition to our $9,400?
Yes, it is. And, but it can only be used for presidential addresses.
Okay, and I understand that.
That's the first time. It's the first time I understood it, just before break.
Okay.
So basically the $9,400, we have to put in our line request and so forth to support the $9,400, but we can put it in, and as long as it gets approved, use it for other things besides the presidential address, which we normally use $3,200 for. So it gives us a chance to maybe do some other things.
So we get a $3,200 yearly increase.
If we get
approved. Along with the president address not falling short of
basically
what we arrange.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So I will be following up with getting with Pat and then anybody else that's interested in taking that. Now that I understand this, and putting together the budget for the next year based on $9,400 and how do we want to divvy that up and make some sense of it. Any questions? That's all I have.
When will we know when this budget is approved?
Well, the $20,000, which again, I don't have a date on that. I think it's going to be quite a ways down the road, but I don't know if you have any proof.
Spring sometime. I don't know.
Spring sometime. So I'll see if I can define that.
That's a long
the other one we have. Yeah, that's pretty wide open.
Yeah,
so
I just didn't know if we would know before, like, next September. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the way our summer break falls. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping we might know before we
break. Definitely.
From
the summer. Yeah, I'll see if I can get that clarified.
The president's address is in the fall, and we would have to.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, right.
Sorry.
No, I understand. Yeah.
plan to spend the money as normal. I mean,
yeah.
Don't count chickens, I guess, is what I'm saying.
But
that's the plan, is it would provide budget relief for that event.
Yeah.
And you could spend that money elsewhere.
Speaking of that, then the way I probably should put a budget together is here's a budget if the $20,000 is approved for the president's address. Here's a budget if the $20,000 is not approved for the president's address. And how much we'll support.
Might be nice. Okay.
I'll do it both ways. Okay.
Okay.
I can do it.
Any other questions? I'm fine.
Good job, Joe.
Yeah, that's my emergency grant fund.
Has it been?
Okay. Personnel policy?
Our next meeting is January 14th, and we're going to discuss the two previous meetings that we had, which I've recorded on both of those, but Leon, you're fine. We met with, I just went blank. Beth, thank you. Who gave us just a ton of information. She's done a lot of research on the wellness policy, and had put together some really good data for us. And what personnel policy, or what we'll discuss in our meeting, is the recommendation from the committee to come forward to the EA to think about what sort of forums we can do in the spring to find out what people really want as far as time for wellness. What she has put together and is recommending is a minimum of 90 minutes of release time a week to be the policy. There's like this urban legend that it's 3 hours a week, but there's no policy or anything to support that. So this is just a way of formalizing what that is. So in our next meeting, we'll kind of strategize on that. And also, at our last meeting, we had Lauren Jacoby and Alan Mittman come to talk about a few different things, and one was the bias policy and how that's going to change if there's a slight modification to that. And we also talked about decorating for the holidays, and I thought that that might be a really fun topic for our retreat. So that's what we have coming up on the 14th.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, I'd like to schedule a meeting. I was thinking on two Tuesdays, so this week after the conference meeting or the Tuesday after the retreat. So anybody who wants to come to that meeting, anybody here wants to know about when that meeting is scheduled? I'll take your name down so I can email you. You said, just regular members. Okay, well, if you're interested in coming to that meeting, we'll probably be talking about elections and other important stuff. Send me an email.
I ask this every time. What was the IOC meeting again?
Internal Operations Committee.
Okay. I think International Olympic Committee.
Well, that's me.
That's
first.
The other item. The other item.
About the gymnastics team. They're not doing so well.
No. The Russians will kill us.
I'm sorry, Russians.
That's it for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Peter? I do encourage everyone to try to get involved. University benefits?
There is a meeting scheduled in February.
Yay.
I don't know the date off the top of my head, but I do see a proposal come through. So, as I said, the topic, and then we've been waiting to hear back from the consultants on this, is the medical, basically around prescription benefits for our retirees, which is a big thing that's going to change. So, apparently they have something to tell us. So I'll let you know.
Thank you. I actually believe we might be able to get to the open forum today. All right, let's go on to old business. The winter retreat is still scheduled.
I don't have anything really for us to do. The only thing...
Okay.
I heard a rumor actually from Joanne DiStefano, so she has been contacted by HR to look at the benefit policy and how the tuition benefit would impact staff. Well, you can probably explain better than I can, because you get assessed, you get taxed on any tuition benefit you receive. So apparently,
you get taxed on any tuition benefit over $5,270.
And 40 cents.
And 40 cents. Which at Cornell,
two classes
puts you over by $70, actually. So two 3-credit classes.
And they'll look into... increase?
Well, the federal law. Yeah. That's a federal law. So if Cornell wants to change, wants to supplement, that would be just, you know, that would be a Cornell benefit.
Right. Fortunately, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, Cornell tuition is really pretty high. So if you're taking classes elsewhere, it's likely that the tuition being charged is, you know, comparable or less than what Cornell tuition is. So that's
the other really evil thing about the taxing is that you're not taxed at whatever your tax bracket is, you're taxed at 40%. So that's why.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
And it has to be paid in the same calendar year that it was used.
Right.
So they're looking to possibly supplement that?
Well, I don't know all of the, like I said, it was a rumor, but, you know, a holiday party kind of thing. So I don't have all the details, but, you know, that's all Joanne said is. She and Mary had talked a little bit about that. So I think they're looking into it. Nan Shapiro is the person in DFA who's responsible. She's the controller, basically, for the university. So any sort of tax implications or changes to that or whatever all has to be done through the financial affairs and Joanne's shop. Sorry.
Well, since that amount was established many years ago, and Cornell does have a lobbyist in D.C. as does most of the top universities, why can't they, easier said than done, get together and lobby Congress to change?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's actually a lot that they can do without changing the law, because the tuition reimbursement, which is this has been my biggest fee. Is that if you don't take classes at the tuition reimbursement rate is crappy.
Mm-hmm.
So even getting right. that up to par would
yeah.
be really helpful.
So maybe it's not either. Maybe it's both.
Federal legislation.
Mm-hmm. Locally and yep. with the federal government.
We get a famous actor to champion our cause.
Yeah.
The great debate. Got to take a rest.
You know, okay, well, let us know if you're
okay.
available.
But those amounts were established many years ago.
Yeah, it was the year before I started, so I think it's 2000 or 2001, they changed back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was taxable, and then there was a chunk of time where it was not taxable
right.
at all, and then
they went
back
again.
So it was in 2000 or 2001.
Mm-hmm. And then I have a question about if I go through the employee degree program, I go to TC3, so that's very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take a class at Cornell in addition. It's either one or the other. I mean, I don't know why that would be, what could be done as far as changing that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
I just pay out of pocket expense at the state university school that I go. I have a Cobalt Hill. And then I just go to a Cornell class for free each semester.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm paying that myself. Classes are in tandem. Is that true? Well, you know, Cornell, if you take classes just at Cornell, you can take one class.
Right.
You can't take more than one.
Right. If you're in the employee degree program, you can take 8 credits.
Right.
Okay.
But if you want to take classes, if I want to get my degree somewhere else, but I still want to be able to take a Cornell class, I can't.
Right.
Do what I want to do.
Yeah.
But. There's something for out there, but you know, you guys are looking into it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a benefit. We have to try to remember that it is a benefit,
right.
And it's a good thing, but there are a lot of restrictions around it, and that's the thing that I'm trying to work on and help them see.
Okay.
Because I guess Donna, the idea is if it could be clarified or if the benefit could be improved, more people might be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, right now it is prohibitive. I mean, and most people look at it and they don't know. It's like, well, I could take a class at Cornell, but I can't take a class anywhere else. They don't even know that there is, you know, even a little tuition benefit and reimbursement that they could qualify for. So people just tend to give up on it because they can't take classes during the day, but what's happened with online programs and the flexibility that's offered through TC3 and other colleges, that, you know, times are much more flexible than they used to be even 10 years ago. So, you know, people are able to pursue not only associate's degrees, but bachelor's degrees. I mean, TC3 has been great about having my classes for a long time. But as far as any of our, even locally, whether it's a college or Courtland State or any of those, to have classes, you know, after 4 o'clock, 10 years ago, it just didn't happen. So you had no option unless you decided to take classes at Cornell.
Yeah, I'm thinking 8 credits now.
So, yeah, great. I just did the math on that, and that's the $1,200. Instead of $3,000 you went over, that's $1,200 tax. You'd be paying 40%.
Yeah. And then if you go back to John for business, that's even more.
Oh, yeah, don't even.
Because I was taking class there.
But if you work it out, I mean, as Donna said, it is a benefit. So
mm-hmm.
I got my master's in ILR, and I paid about $5,000 in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Between
a year?
No, total, the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And so, I mean...
You got to work it out.
Yeah.
I got a degree from Cornell for $5,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Gonna,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions?
We don't mean to say it's bad.
Right.
Is that $5,000, was it a write-off on your taxes or not? I mean, I don't know what income bracket.
It was for me because I had a household, so I got almost all of it back.
Okay.
All right. So moving on to the winter retreat again. We're still working on a facilitator for the winter retreat. We have it scheduled not this Friday, but the following Friday. We also have a snow date. Once we get our facilitator, we can work on an agenda for the facilitator. I believe we got topics.
What's the date
of that? The
15th?
11th.
Mm-hmm. Where is it again?
In Spencer at my house.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I won't be there.
No?
No, I'll be flying back from a conference.
Oh, okay.
What's the time?
It's going to be the second half of the day on Friday. It's a hashtag.
Wear my bathing suit just on the plane,
just
for
sport,
the song hat.
That's true. Peter will still be there. We were, Amy and I were discussing the food that the employee assembly, you know, if you get a pizza or something, but I'm also, you know, willing, I think it might be good if you guys, how do you, is anyone against, hey, make something, bring it, you know?
Yeah, let's just
bring whatever.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to email me directly, hey, I'll bring chips, mm-hmm. I'll bring soda, and then we can just handle it ourselves.
Okay.
Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't start hearing from you guys, I may get closer, I'll start emailing.
I can tell you what I'm going to bring. My favorite, I'm a vegetarian. I love Wings of Life from Wegmans, the salad.
Okay.
The Wings of Life salad. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I'm going
to
bring. Wings of Life.
Something interesting.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
I
Yeah. The next time you're in there, ask them.
And if you weren't, if you don't remember the reason that having a winter retreat. I'm excited about my new house. I want to share it with people. But I also think that from our summer retreat, we kind of lose touch with each other through our busy schedules of, you know, the fall semester and then the winter holiday. So I think this will try to bring everybody back together, do some team building exercises, work on our morale and our, you know, getting to know each other again and try to start off the spring semester as a tight group again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important.
That's
awesome. Yes.
Who won't be there?
But in spirit.
You know, you're not invited, but in the spirit, don't you?
Any questions about the winter retreat?
Do you need any paper product?
I'll just bring that from the office.
Okay. The flipper with the markers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make sure you bring a swim trunk.
Well, I meant,
I think you would take
cups and paper
plates.
I can bring all that.
It'll be our own. You're going to get that?
You'll bring it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring it
okay.
Half of
so we're just going to deal with the food and the beverages. Okay. EA elections. We do not have a.
Where was that on there from?
It was on the agenda from
from the last
meeting,
oh.
And we didn't get to it, so we carried it over.
Although we were trying to talk about it, but we do have a tentative schedule.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
I guess I can briefly
exactly.
Go through that. So yes, the we have scheduled for both the trustee elections and the EA elections, I guess, is tentative.
Mm-hmm.
For any schedule, the materials will become available for both elections on Monday, March 10th. There's going to be some info sessions the weeks after that, and then the materials will be due March 31st. And then there's going to be some, the trustees have all sorts of extra stuff, more meetings, campaigning stuff, and whatnot. And then April 4th, they'll announce their candidates for both. And then ballots, yeah, assuming we have enough people to have election ballots.
You mean the employee trustee and the student trustee at the same time?
No, employee trustee and the EA
election. Okay.
Yeah. Ballots will be mailed out April 14th. And then the results will be on our tentative schedule is May 2nd. We're going to try to push that for end of April so that we can get the results in the conference on their April 2nd issue. So we to try to announce the results maybe like April 29th or 30th if it's possible. If we get the ballot coming out by then. So that's our tentative schedule. Well, not mine, but what we got from our Vega.
Okay. Can like Julie, for instance, can she use her same packet? Let's say Julie decides she wants to run again for the EA in the spring. Can she use her packet that she already turned in for the rerun?
I said sure, but I don't know if there's any sticklers.
I don't know. I can find out.
Charter of
rules. Mine
says
through
09.
I think Julie said. I think it's Deborah and Leon.
I think strictly speaking, you are supposed to resubmit all the materials. But if you have like a blur that hasn't changed from the previous time, you just resubmit or resist and use some stuff and just
right.
Put in the whole thing about why you want to run again.
Yeah, I know that I know he's like a little,
yep.
When I first jumped onto the EA, elections was a big topic. How are we going to run the process? Can we redefine it? Can we make it better? So, you know, hopefully we need to start planning now to see if we need
the various issues, kind of communication, how we're going to get people excited about it.
Right.
I'll try to talk about that the next time, see if and maybe even contact them, maybe split up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it seems to me it could be made more user-friendly for people to, you know, why put all the bureaucracy out there if it's not necessary? And I'm not saying it's not, but maybe it can be looked into to make it more user friendly, so people
we
will.
We redesign election packets. That's something else we need to do.
Yeah.
Really signature things, those like those stuff.
Yeah.
Play that by ear and see what happens.
And that with elections, would that fall under Tom?
IOC.
IOC.
Yeah, okay. It's just
the promo that you saw. Yeah, it's just the line.
But I selfishly push everything on the CompTIA's shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah,
budget, right? We were talking about having like past EA members being part of the process. So they, does anybody remember this? Is it sparking a bell? So it wasn't, Steph, Julie, what it was is that, let's say I'm up in a few months, and I'm in charge of holding elections. I really want to be on the EA again. Okay, so I'll make sure there's a little email that goes out. I don't know if everybody gets it, and that's good. Hey, no one wants to be on the EA, probably because they didn't hear. I'm automatically on because I'm the only person running. So
it could be one of my plans.
So how do we get people involved in this? Should it be the people that are up in 09, like Julie and myself? But definitely shouldn't be the people that are up in 08. It just takes out any... I don't know if you guys remember this whole topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's great this year is that Peter is chair of IOC and his term doesn't open until 09. So there's no conflict
of
interest there.
I'm kind of curious how this whole issue came out of the first place. I don't think I've ever experienced anyone trying to deliberately cheat on the election.
Okay, it came up because Sebastian, myself, and Bill said that we had received an email like days before the deadline, and that was it. And we were wondering how we can get
a process more than they were trying to let us know.
Right. And that was just an idea that came off of that idea. Mm-hmm. You being up in 09, then I don't see a problem with it. But let's try to work out a plan to get out there to people.
Well, I agree with that more
than
sure.
Last year.
One thing we've worked on, Brian, too, in ComCom, and Bill specifically has headed it up, is putting together a list of, you know, the listservs and how we communicate and then prioritizing them for these big events. So that's pretty close to, I mean, we're gathering information pretty close to.
Well, the one big step on that is the thing with Matt Lauer giving me the information, George is going to give me the information. Is, and I still need you a couple of lists. I think I actually still need you a list from you so that we can compare them. Again, it goes back to the idea of if one list has 3,000 on, another list has 1,000, are we hitting 4,000 people or are we hitting 3,200 people? You know, are we overlapping and so forth? How many people are we hitting? And I think that's the last real key that I need so that we put the whole thing together and present at the EA, and so we'll get that information.
Yeah. So it's really close, and the outcome of that is for these things that repetitively come up, like elections. You know, every year there's going to be elections. So we'll be able to take this document and say, okay, elections. It's tagged as this priority, which means that it goes out in paw print, goes in paw print flash, it goes, you know, on this listserv, and then we put it in the buildings, we make a poster. And so I think, you know, with that, regardless of if, you know, my term is up or whoever's sitting in that seat, they'll be able to pull the document and say, this is how we advertise it. And we can improve on that, you know, each year as well. But I think that'll take out of play if there is even any, you know, any question of sandbagging the election.
So what you just make sure that your IOC person isn't up, like who gets elected isn't up for
right.
Next year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or the process.
And even if they are, though, you know, even if they are, that, you know, IOC runs it, but ComCom is the one who put that, make sure the stuff goes out. So if you have the document, you just follow it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If we're not following it, then, you know, there's a problem.
Okay. I remembered I wanted to bring it up.
No, I think that's good to bring it up again, but that's one thing that we're working on.
I want to jump in on a little side conversation over here. I heard 1,500 and I heard different.
No, I was just saying, I wondered if we could get permission to use the CUFA listserv if Steve Golding and Deb Nielstrand would okay that, and because we have such a big organization. So, I think so. I think that we would be.
Would it be possible to get a list of the people around?
No. No.
And for people who don't know what CUFA is,
Pretty Little Animal.
Finance and Administration. So it's the old AFNS. administration, facilities, and finance. It's the biggest division. So,
big list.
Big. Yeah. It's big. Be the biggest division.
About 1,500 people. So it's, you know.
Yeah.
See, the only issue I had with retirement ordinance, 1,500 people is good, but again, I don't know how that 1,500 people matches up to this other list I'm going to get to, this other list.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm trying to get the names, just so I can match them and say, okay, I've got these five lists, there's 3,000 on this one, down to 500 on this one, 8,000 altogether, but we're really only hitting 4,000 people. I mean, there's no way to know that unless I can match the list up.
Right.
So.
And shouldn't it go out through the HR units, the HR representative for each unit? That's how you get to the employees that don't have it.
Yes, yeah, because it's not, it's definitely not just email.
Right.
We've got that conversation. That's part of the whole.
And Leon throws it to Sarah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has that out.
And will supervisors and management, are they going to be asked to let people have time to serve on the EA?
We're going to bring that up on a topic of discussion with Mary at our next meeting with her.
Okay.
We're going to just see what she says about that. I know it's been something that was brought up before with her. I don't know what we're saying.
Regarding the message that the department can run a report, if it's just people who are in that department, you can run a report by department to find probably the people who are beyond that list. So it's possible to generate a report for this sort of like that.
It's possible for you to generate a report?
Well, for my area. I'm trying to be really indirect and
I'll play around with that idea a little.
Well, I guess, yeah, for elections, we've got a schedule. Seems like we're all on the same page. Let's just, if you need any help, you know, anything, just let me know.
Everyone should come to ISC meeting.
Yeah, what's the date again?
Everyone.
Monday?
You want
to
email?
I'd like to do it in two Tuesdays, so that's going to be a Tuesday, second, Tuesday the
15th. Okay.
Tentatively at 1-ish. Because that's like an off week from time to time, so I thought that'd be convenient.
Yeah, so we get a game plan. I look at the number of people that are going to be interested in the spring election. In a way, it may not be the best reflection, in a way, on are we effectively meeting our goal of increasing agency innovation? And if we are swamped with applicants, then yeah, maybe. If nobody sends in an application, then maybe we're not effectively reaching out to people. Or they just don't like
it. It's one indicator.
Does the employee assembly promote the employee trustee election as well? I'm on the trustee nominating committee, but it's my first time, so I don't know. It's the Office of Assemblies, but as we are a part of the Office of Assemblies, we help to promote it.
And they'll be on the same ballot, and it'll be the same publicity in it.
Right. And one thing the Pottering sponsors for the trustee election is a candidates forum.
Oh, yeah.
And so that will have to take place after the candidates are announced. So that will take place sometime in April. Try to find a date for that. And so it's a matter, and then we publicize that. So it's a matter for all the trustee candidates to make a statement and answer questions and just get some exposure.
Mm-hmm. Historically, when we've had trustee elections, it's been there's been much more interest in the elections in general. So,
and there was 3 people the last time.
Oh no, I think there were more than that. I think there were more like 6 people.
6 people the time before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 last time.
So it was 3 the last time.
Yeah. 3 the last time.
Yeah.
Right. But 6 the time before that.
Okay. So I'm just saying then the numbers are going, it's half.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers are going down.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I knew it was 3 because I was one of them the last
right.
time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 3.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people did come out. Was it in V1, I think
Biotech
building.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a good crowd there. But there were just 3.
Yeah.
One thing you might want to consider, if you do have a lot of candidates, you might want to have a candidates forum for the employee assembly. candidates as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a goodly number, okay, either tagged on to the trustee one or separate from.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Yeah. It creates some buzz about it.
Yeah.
You have all the candidates in one place. People can meet them.
Yeah.
See what we get.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll hear more as we progress forward. New business. Soup and Hope, we did get an explanation.
Oh, yeah.
But I really think that was good. And I just, last meeting was really rushed. And I asked Carrie to put this on here in case this was still open. You know, if you want to.
Okay.
With it a little more.
I do have some things too.
You have the posters?
Yeah.
Okay, great. You've got
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Color.
You've got them in color.
Yeah.
Great.
I love the big old feel.
And there's two separate things.
Yeah.
The other one is our bios on the people that are going to do it. Okay, so there's two separate. But then I can let Dennis continue trying to recover from the cold.
Oh.
I think those of us who are still around at the end of the last meeting talked about it, and the group, the employee assembly, actually endorsed it and agreed to become a sponsor. So you'll notice the employee assembly's name is listed
on there.
Yay.
That's like extreme hope.
Extreme hope.
Like hope for the new millennium.
Max hope.
Yeah.
Max hope. It's like, you gotta get hope in a soda
stream. Yeah, that Pepsi,
three times
right?
The hope.
Right.
Max, you want Pepsi hope, Max.
So you guys see that Coke commercial? It was, I don't know, quite a few years ago. They're out in the park with candles. I like to teach the world the thing. Do you know that?
Yeah.
That's what I keep picturing. That I want to be there.
You feel your hope accepted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's the way?
You have to be the ghost.
Or
the thing.
Cal Walker was appointed the village Jew.
Oh.
The village of Ithaca?
No.
The village of
Ithaca. The village of Ithaca.
Yeah.
Village. What are you talking about?
Face. I love that face.
Dennis, Leon, we did agree to participate in this.
Yeah.
I think on more than just an individual level, just to let us know what we need to do.
Right.
As we get closer.
Yeah.
You good at making soup?
No, and then
some of the ushers.
Emergency bowls? Like if people.
Oh, yeah, they'll have some.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll have bowls.
That's
such
a bummer, right? You get there, I'm going to bring
forgot
a bowl.
Hold your hand. Get involved in
hold for a bowl.
So, yeah, I guess we'll just keep mentioning it as we get closer. If you guys can come let us know.
Sure. Yeah.
Great pin.
And we can wear our pin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Move on to the campus planning committee update.
Yeah, this really isn't new business. This is more of a committee report. But I wanted to update the group on these two committees. Campus planning committee met the week before break. And the big item on the campus planning committee was the news of the data center building that will be going in East Hill Plaza area. It's already the EHOP building is over there, the new EHOP building, and the data center, which will house CIT, is being planned for somewhere in that area behind, behind the East Hill Plaza, and it will have about 400 employees, and the big news about that is already there are probably about 600 staff people who work over in East Hill Plaza and in the EHOB. So this would bring about 1,000 people over there. So my question to the CIT people, Paulie McClure actually, who was the person speaking about it, was what services is the university going to provide, or can this building provide amenities for staff who are over there? Because once you get 1,000 people over there, then you need to really look at the walkway connecting the two so that people can, I mean, there's a shuttle and that works well, but people will want to walk during pleasant weather, which will eventually come to us. but to try to walk, over there is ridiculous. It's a maze of roads and some dangerous intersections. So it at least got the discussion started, and we also talked about, with that many people over there, you need some dining facilities, maybe a wellness facility, at least a meeting space for people, maybe a building, maybe not the CIT building, but the next building would have an atrium, so staff could at least meet other folks over there. So I think my plan is to continue hammering that notion across, that as Cornell expands and moves more staff over there, it needs to be thinking about amenities. And Donna has been a champion of this as well. Is there anything you want to add?
No, you covered it pretty well. I mean, I think between what the campus master plan has talked about and for that area of campus and the East Hill Data Center, I mean, the E-Hub is one thing, but the East Hill Data Center is more of it's a big move, actually, because it's consolidating all of the CIT operations from across the campus, which is really good because they're scattered all over the place. And there's also the potential for them to partner with academic computing. So those folks are in Rose Hall, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there program-wise that could mean a lot of growth in East Hill. So I know that they're... We've also been talking about the Pfizer building and how that fits into the whole picture. Does everybody know what Pfizer is? It's a little crappy building. Yeah, right across from the cemetery.
Are they going to stay there?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
So, because that should be more of a, we love this word, gateway building. Mm-hmm. It needs to be something a little bit more significant. So,
probably time to go.
Yeah. The cemetery will stay. Courtside is another building that we've acquired, and there is some stuff going on in there right now, but that's another thing that should just probably be demoed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that yellow house on the corner, that's just all through.
Yeah.
So that'll go.
Is that Cornell too?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a sign that says we'll build the suit or something, parcel of land.
Right, we have it.
Oh, okay.
We
the sign should come down.
Let's tell Cornell how you want to build.
No,
for
the sign needs to stay up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For a while.
Okay.
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 Can't just build your mansion there, sorry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as a potential place for, like, a visitor center for people to come and park and then take a shuttle to campus and,
mm-hmm.
you know, do the visitor tours. So we're looking at a whole bunch of things for East Hill area. So we will continue that effort in the outside and making sure to look out for staff.
Because parking is an issue over there.
Parking is a huge issue.
But you're going to add 400 people, but really I don't think they're planning to have another parking lot, right?
No, they're implementing surface parking plans with the East Hill Data Center. So, yeah.
And the gas prices at that little gas station are going to go up even more.
That's
the coast station.
They'll
nickel and dime you the day.
But the idea of amenities out there is another.
Hopefully everything works out.
And then can I just say one more thing about the campus planning committee, just to sort of remind people that the campus planning committee was created by the university assemblies, and that's where their charge comes from, and they're meant to be an advisory committee to the president on buildings coming forward and developments for the campus. So as we go through the comprehensive master plan, we're looking at the charge to the campus planning committee. Once the plan is implemented, we actually may propose a change to the role of the campus planning committee once the master plan goes into effect. So just to give you a little bit of a heads up there, and that would just come from the administration. And it would just come forward to the UA and just say, you know, that they would want to consider campus planning committee being used in a different way.
But the UA would have the right to say yay or no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they would. Yep,
or modify.
Yeah, they would modify it or whatever. But right. as we look at implementation for the campus mm-hmm. master plan, that definitely is the group that's on the radar. Yeah.
Would you talk about the campus master plan and how things are the time frame for it?
Yeah,
because we're just in the end game stages at this point.
So, the January trustee meetings, there's a presentation plan for the board of trustees, where the consultants for the campus master plan, along with the core team, which I'm a part of, will go over sort of the key elements of the plan. There's an executive summary which they'll be reviewing, and then they can ask questions and kind of get a really good feel of it before it comes back for them to vote on. The next trustees meeting after January is in March. The Buildings and Properties Committee, and that's the committee to which I'm secretary, they're sort of the champion of the plan, so that would come to them first, and then they would approve it, and then with their approval it would go to the full board for approval in April. So with any luck, it will be fully approved by the trustees in April. And then, of course, we have to have some sort of plan about implementation in the meantime, but really, I don't know, I think that as much hard work is going to start in May as has been going on for the last 2 years on this thing. So, because it's like once you have it, you need to figure out what to do with it and how to make it work and remain, current. We're looking for approval by the Board of Trustees of the middle of April, for now to be.
The document is, I represent the EA on there too, and so the document is on the website if people are interested, and I think we've both mentioned it in the past as well. So if you are interested, go ahead and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
We also have hard copy forms, so if you like hard copy better, we can get that too. But the master plan is, it's really, I'm impressed. I mean, it's fantastic. They've taken in everybody's suggestions. They've had over 600 meetings, and people who, and Donna has been, I think, at every one of them. I guess I would just say, like you said, it's in its final stages,
yes.
And so still, though, if you have something that's a burning question or that you really want to make sure it's there, a bagel shop, go ahead and share it with us.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's like the things that you were talking about over in East Hill area. I mean, they've really taken a lot of time with your input, with everybody's input, to make sure that there is, in the plan, going to be easier access from one site to another, walkways and traffic things rearranged, and it's impressive. They haven't said this building is going to, they've given, rough sketches of where buildings will be and how many people, per se, could be in a building. So if we take away, one building from campus, where could it potentially go?
Yeah.
So it's in that type of a model form right now.
Right. It's a suggestion about how campus can grow and develop and where areas of density might occur. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So things that on the last meeting I was at, things that would be discussed as far as East Hill Plaza, the buildings were made to be, every year Cornell grows huge amount of employees, and also just space-wise is the biggest concern. Per person, there's actually more space required and that's the trend over the years. Even though we've gone to smaller, you know, computers and things like that, it actually takes larger space for the research. And so the buildings that were proposed were very tall, and people were saying, well, it gives an impression that we don't like that feel of it coming from off campus to on campus. So let's try to work around, you know, not having, if they're going to be tall, let's set them back a little further, have fountains in front. So those are the types of discussions that are going on at this point.
Yeah. So. I echo what Carrie says. I'd really encourage everybody to go on the website and check it out. It is a fascinating plan. Mm-hmm. And the whole East Hill Plaza area will just be completely renovated and renewed.
Yeah.
I think they're even calling it East Hill, they're calling it East Hill Village.
Yeah, Village, yeah.
Mm. I mean, the East Hill Data Center kind of comes at an interesting time as we're developing the plan.
Right.
So, you know, one is kind of bouncing off the other a little bit.
Right. Like you said, the implementation is the tough part. Because
projects
are already, some have already been budgeted for, broken ground for, and...
Yeah, and program has been set. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
No lack of work.
Great.
You'll be employed for a long time.
Thanks for the update.
Yeah, sure. Can I also then give an update on the President's Climate Commitment Implementation Committee?
Of course.
A very short. Truly. I just wanted to make everyone aware that the end of February this past year in 07 is when President Scorton signed the President's Climate Commitment. And so it's likely that there'll be some sort of a public presentation at the end of this February to sort of commemorate that 1 year. And so some committee members have begun to think about what they might do over the lunch hour to help the group employees understand better what this team is about and what their long-range goals are. So I'll keep people posted on that.
A good group.
Good
leadership
group.
There.
Yeah. A lot of Coupa people in there.
Thanks, Sarah. We haven't done this in a while. I don't think we've done this since last spring. But let's try to do a quick once around. Start with Peter. Did you have anything you want to talk about?
It should be so fast to retreat.
I just wanted to find out, I guess, from the year what about committees and, you know, you all kind of mentioned maybe the communications committee and find out what groups I should attend and how that works.
Peter, did we hook up Julie with the orientation type buddy? You haven't? Okay, we need to do that. So, anyone want to volunteer to be Julie's orientation buddy? Which just means that you sit next to her for the next couple of meetings and show her through the notebook. I don't know if she's gotten that yet.
I'm already Deborah's buddy.
Yeah, you are. Right. Basically, the responsibility for whoever wants to volunteer is, Amy, can you get Julie the notebook? And
I need a notebook also.
Yeah.
Leanne, do you have your old one or do you need a new one?
Have to check.
Okay.
I'll check this afternoon and email.
Okay. So the notebook has the charter and it has sections that you take notes and stuff in. And so whoever will be your orientation buddy will just show you what the material is in there, get you used to that, and then let you know any, you know, general format of the meeting. I think you've already picked that up because you've been at a few of them.
Yeah.
But if you have any other questions like that, you can email them, call them.
Okay.
And I'll be happy to be your buddy.
Yeah,
and then
Xavier,
I'll... Here's that.
Okay.
So I'll be your buddy.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Want to be my buddy?
Yeah, I just wanted to find out. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Treasure buddy?
So I'll catch up with you after the meeting.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
Bill?
I guess just one question, Tom, about, I think she was asking about ComCom and when we're having meetings and so forth. Is there any reason when we're having these committee meetings, and I thought we talked about this before, of not just emailing the whole EA when you set them up to say this is when the meeting is, so everybody knows and that they run from the town?
Period. We've talked about that before, not just small people being about that they don't care about. You know, the first meeting we have in the term, you know, the term whatever, we email everyone to let them know the discussion we'd like. But after that, when people are on the committee or have expressed interest, we just send kind of emails to get them. So, I mean, we've gone back and forth on this. Some people why everyone, some people hate receiving questions that they don't care about. So.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good thing to bring up at the retreat too, since that's coming up in,
yeah,
in a couple of weeks. Because if we want to change how we're doing it, we can talk about it then.
We'll have the whole group there to get a,
yeah,
a rough sit on.
Okay. And the, all of these are scheduled online on the EA calendar. So, I mean, for example, I don't see we haven't had one in a while, so I just haven't had a meeting. Mm-hmm. But COMCOM is regular schedule, town's calendar, and personnel policy is a regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a couple things. One is our first paw print of the year will be out next Thursday, January 10th. It could be arranged.
do you need that article for me?
Yes,
for this one.
Mm-hmm. But I'll need it before next Thursday.
Okay. No, I actually was aware of this. Donna and Carrie have helped me out.
Okay, good. The other thing I wanted to mention is I've been in contact with an employee who I think has filled out a form and may be considering joining the employee assembly. It's Gary Stewart.
I saw that today. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he filled out stuff.
I think,
He sent an email, but he hasn't turned in the packet, so we'll have to figure out how to...
Okay.
Yeah, Nancy, if you can encourage him to come attend.
Yeah, I think he was planning to come today, but I sent him the room change information, but I guess the schedule wouldn't allow him to come. He was here briefly at the last meeting, so we had a weird presentation.
Okay.
With a beard, he would be a great addition. I gotta tell you, he's just a terrific.
Yeah, he's the director of community relations.
You read them both too.
Yeah.
They emailed and jive with what was just said.
Well, if it's the email I'm thinking of, the one I saw today, he submitted an application for the AA through a committee.
Right.
Form, I think.
The online web form, yeah.
Yeah. Which I just want to, I don't have a problem with that, but I want to make sure everybody's aware of that. Mm-hmm. He didn't go through the normal process, but he submitted the information.
Well, I think what he requested information, and Aria just told him that
yes,
he could just do it for,
right,
as if it were a committee. And I just realized that.
I was really confused by that, because I didn't think that. Did Ari talk to you about changing how people apply?
Yeah. But if it's something we did, I don't think we should go back once again to the person saying, yeah, I got to do it all over.
Just
once again, this is not friendly.
Right.
It's not user friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
If we did something,
right,
go back to him,
they
do it a different way.
Because I gave him the information that he'd have to get a petition and he'd have to go through the whole process, and then he emailed, I guess, your office, and Ari said, no, you can just do this.
If you guys have something to say, we're just running.
Yep. I don't have anything.
I don't.
No, I don't have anything.
That worked well.
I do need that.
Well, can I get a motion?
Let's do it, Darren.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Thank you.
Fun to work.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.